Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Guys, it's our last day together.
No!
It's really sad. It's really, yeah, we have like a few hours together tomorrow. Very, very sad. Guys, I want to know. All right, question of the day. And before you start answering it, I only want to hear the weirdest ones, okay? Any normal thing, I don't care to hear about, okay? What is your biggest fear? What is your biggest fear? Share with your partner. I want to hear the weirdest ones you got. I don't want to hear, like, I'm afraid of heights or I'm claustrophobic. I don't care about that kind of thing. I want to hear, like, I'm afraid of peanut butter or something like that. You got a weird one? I'm going to come back there. What you got? You're terrified of seeing a submarine in the water. That is fascinating. Not the craziest thing, but weird. A little weird. Yeah, what you got? Oil rigs, docks, any man-made thing underwater or on top of water, it sounds like. Just under. What you got? What? You're afraid of the dark. See, I don't want to hear that. Dark's a normal thing to be afraid of. Dark is scary, though. What's up? Failing your sports physical even though you're healthy. That makes sense. What you got? You're afraid of Timothy Chalamet. That's so funny. What's yours? What? Mayonnaise? The mannequins. I thought you said mayonnaise. All right, last two. What you got?
I hate ants.
Like little ants? Okay. Like fire ants or just normal, regular ants? All right, last one. What you got? You're afraid of women?
No, he's not. He's lying.
Women. Women, that's what I said. Women. Perfectly understandable fear.
He's the king of purple.
He said he's afraid of women. I also thought she said mayonnaise, but she said mannequins, which mannequins are scary. Mannequins are scary, especially the ones that don't have heads. What? That's a normal fear. All right. Let's jump in. We're looking at Philippians 4, 2 through 9. Philippians 4, 2 through 9. And our big idea this morning is that joy in Christ leads us to prayer where we find God's peace to be our security. Joy in Christ leads us to prayer where we find God's peace to be our security. So this passage is intensely practical. Very, very practical. But it isn't a collection of random commands. Paul is describing what life looks like as a citizen of heaven. So like we talked about yesterday, if you are a follower of Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. And this is what it looks like to be a citizen of heaven. Citizens who stand firm in the Lord, all these commands flow out from that. So our point number one is to pursue peace with one another. Pursue peace with one another. Citizens of heaven, pursue peace. Let's read Philippians 4, 2 through 9. Philippians 4, 2 through 9. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, whether with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have heard and received, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul begins this passage with a very personal situation. He talks about these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, names you don't hear a lot anymore. But he's talking about these two women who were faithful servants, who he had labored alongside for the sake of the gospel. Yet somewhere along the way, division had crept in. An argument, conflict between these two women had gotten so bad that Paul hears about it in Rome. And notice he doesn't take sides. He doesn't pick one or the other. He doesn't gossip or publicly shame either woman. He doesn't ignore the conflict. Instead, he lovingly calls them both to unity. The key phrase here is agree in the Lord. He calls them to agree in the Lord, and he isn't asking them to have identical personalities or preferences, opinions. He's reminding them that their shared identity in Christ should lead to unity. Their shared identity in Christ is greater than any disagreement that could happen in their lives. Unity is one of the major things in Philippians and themes in Philippians. Paul has already called believers to be of the same mind, to imitate Christ's humility, and to strive side by side for the gospel. So Paul is calling for the unity of these two women because conflict threatens the church's witness. It divides us. Conflict can cause division in the church, and that can hinder the gospel from going forward. We need to be of one mind. We need to imitate Christ's humility. We need to strive side by side in order that the gospel may go forward. But guys, conflict is inevitable. Things like this happen. Paul is not, he's not super angry at them. He's just calling them to agree in the Lord. He's asking them to be reasonable and to find that common ground, to put the interests of the other ahead of their own, and to solve this conflict. So I want to ask you guys, maybe there's someone this week, maybe it's someone back home, but is there someone that you've been avoiding? Because you know that there's something between the two of you. That there's some kind of conflict and you're avoiding even making eye contact with them. Is there someone you're avoiding? Is there someone you're bitter towards? Maybe it's something that happened this week, someone treated you poorly, and now you're kind of ticked off. You're bitter, you don't want to see this person anymore. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there someone that you need to agree in the Lord with? That you need to seek unity with? Is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there someone that you need to ask forgiveness for? Is there someone that you know that you've wronged this week or back home and you know you need to ask forgiveness for? Because guys, as believers, we must be united. We must seek this reconciliation. We must seek unity together. So forgive and ask for forgiveness. So point number one is pursue peace with one another. Point number two, replace anxiety with prayer. Look with me again at verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul moves from relationships to looking at our hearts, looking at the inner lives of the believers. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And this isn't Paul pretending that life is easy. Remember, Paul is in prison. He's chained up every single day to these guards. Life is not easy for Paul. But joy is possible for Paul and for us, no matter the circumstances, because we are rooted in Christ. Our circumstances do not affect our joy. And because of that, Paul can say, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Christian joy is so much deeper than just being happy. It's relying on the Lord to bring happiness to our lives. It's more than just the fleeting thought of happiness that comes and goes. It's day in and day out, I am joyful in Christ. It's confidence that Christ is worthy and sovereign regardless of what we face. That's what joy is. He goes on and says, let reasonableness be evident. Let your reasonableness be evident. Reasonableness is crucial for maintaining community. We must be reasonable, especially as we come in conflict with other believers. When Christians dispute, we must be reasonable, this, Paul says, because the Lord is at hand. So whether Paul means Christ's nearness to the believer or his soon return, the point is the same. Our awareness of Jesus changes how we treat people. It changes how we treat people. It causes us to be reasonable. Hey, I actually understand where you're coming from because I'm not so blinded by my own interests, by my own thoughts, by my own feelings. I understand where you're coming from because I'm able to put your interests ahead of my own, like we talked about in Philippians 2. And Paul goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything and let your requests be made known to God. Paul doesn't say believers will never feel anxious. He tells us what to do when anxiety comes. And I know anxiety is prevalent in this room because it's just prevalent in our society now. But Paul is saying instead of feeding your anxiety, go to God. Talk to God about your anxiety. Ask Him to bring joy. Pray. Supplicate, which means ask God for things. Ask Him to take away your anxiety. Thank God for saving you. Thank God for giving you the Holy Spirit. Guys, we cannot allow anxiety, worry, or fear to rule our lives. We must let these feelings drive us to prayer. The world is telling us to just think about ourselves. We talked about this the other day. The world is obsessed with self-care, self-help. But guys, that just causes us to think about our anxiety more. We have to take these things to God and ask Him to take them away from us. Ask Him to help us think of others more than we think about ourselves, to put the interests of others ahead of our own. And then while asking God for help, we remember how faithful He's been to us in the past. Then comes this promise later in the passage when Paul says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul doesn't promise immediate solutions. He promises God's guarding peace. Go to God. Ask Him to guard your heart and your mind as you have anxiety, as you have fear, as those things creep up. Ask God to help you. Ask Him to guard your heart. God's peace stands guard over the believer's heart. Anxiety often reveals where we're trying to carry burdens that God never asked us to carry. In fact, the Bible says, don't even worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. We're not meant to carry the burdens of that we carry day to day. The things that we carry, put on ourselves about our families, burdens that we carry about our friendships, burdens that we carry about the way that we look or the things we think about ourselves, we're not meant to carry those things. We're supposed to put those things on God. And prayer is not informing God of something He doesn't know. He knows that you feel anxious. He knows that you have anxiety. He knows that you have fear. But prayer is entrusting ourselves to the God who already knows. He knows those things. Entrust yourself to Him. Prayer refocuses the heart on God and His purposes, and it brings peace in our lives. So trust God with your anxiety. Don't be afraid to ask God for anything. Ask him to take away your anxiety. Thank him for saving you and for being a God who cares about his people. Ask for peace from him that surpasses your understanding. So point one was pursue peace with one another. Point two was replace anxiety with prayer. Point three, train your mind on what honors Christ. Train your mind on what honors Christ. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So the Christian life isn't just about avoiding sinful thoughts. It's about intentionally filling our minds with what is good. It's about filling our minds with what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is commendable, what is excellent, and what is worthy of praise. So as you look at that list, I'll read it off again so you can write these things down. I want you to look at this list and think to yourself, is this what I'm putting in my mind? Am I putting what is true in my mind? Or am I filling it with stuff that is lies from the world, telling us who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to think? So the first word is true. Are you putting what's true in your mind? Are you putting this? Because like we said the other day, this is the only thing that we can guarantee is true. It's the only thing. Are you putting what's honorable in your mind? Or are you filling your mind with dishonorable things, things that don't honor Christ? So what is true? What is honorable? What is just? Are you filling your mind with things that are just, that are good? Or are you filling your minds with things that are unjust, things that are not pleasing to God? Are you filling your minds with things that are pure? What images are you looking at on your phone? Are they pure in God's eyes? Or are you filling your mind with things that are impure? Bad images that God would not approve of, that is not building up yourself. Are you filling your minds with things that are lovely? Things that God loves? Things that are commendable? Are you filling your minds with things that are excellent and then that are worthy of praise? This isn't positive thinking that's detached from reality. It is gospel-shaped thinking. Think about such things. What fills the mind eventually shapes the heart. What you put into your mind on a daily basis is going to change your affections. It's going to change your heart. So put these things in your mind. What is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is commendable, what is excellent, and what is worthy of praise. Paul is asking the Philippians to fill their minds with things that will inspire worship of God and service to others. Guys, not everything that we put in our minds is like bad. But are they inspiring worship of God? Are they inspiring worship of other people? Or not worship, service to other people. We consume thousands of images every single day through social media, YouTube, group chats, news. The question isn't what should I avoid, it's what's shaping my mind. What am I letting in? What am I letting shape me and make me as a person? So point number three was train your mind on what honors Christ. Last point, practice what you have learned. Practice what you have learned. Look at verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul concludes with action. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So Christianity isn't merely information, it's transformation. It's allowing the things that we've learned this week from the book of Philippians to change our hearts and to change our lives and to change what we practice on a day-to-day basis. We've learned things, we've received things, We've heard things and we've seen the way believers act in our lives. We've seen the way Paul has acted here in Philippians. And now it's time to practice. It's time to put those things into action. Knowledge without obedience leads to spiritual stagnation. If you leave this week and all you do is talk about what you learned and you don't let it change your heart and change your life, you'll become stagnant. Let it change your life. Let the gospel change your life. Let what Jesus did on the cross change your life. Do what Jesus did and put the interests of others ahead of your own. Stand firm in the gospel. Defend the gospel. Tell everyone what Jesus has done for them. Put these things into action. And he promises the God of peace will be with you. Earlier in verse 7, Paul promised the peace of God, and now he points to the God of peace himself. The greatest gift isn't just inner calmness or being without anxiety. It is God's presence. That's the gift that we receive here. Jesus perfectly embodied every command in this passage. Every command. He pursued reconciliation. He rejoiced in the Father's will. He displayed perfect gentleness and reasonableness. He entrusted himself to the Father in prayer even when he was headed towards death. His mind was fixed on what honored God. He perfectly obeyed the Father's will. Through his death and resurrection, we are not only forgiven, but we are empowered to walk in these same patterns by his Holy Spirit. We're empowered to walk like Christ. We're empowered to do the things that please God. The peace Paul describes here is ultimately possible because Jesus made peace between God and sinners through the cross. That's why we can experience these things. So a few questions as you go, as you head to, I believe, Cabin Devos today. The first question is there a relationship you need to repair? We already briefly talked about this, but is there a relationship either here this summer or back home that you need to repair? That you need to be reasonable about and tell the other person, hey, I understand where you're coming from, actually. Put their interests ahead of your own and try to seek reconciliation. And guys, all you can do is go have that conversation. You can't affect how that person responds to you, but you can go to them like Christ. And you can ask them to be reconciled. So is there a relationship you need to repair? Question number one. Question number two, where do you run when anxiety comes? Do you pull out your phone? Do you run to your friends? Just try to talk, just distract yourself from anything and everything? Or do you run to prayer? When you become anxious, do you run to God? What's your first response? Where do you run when anxiety comes? Question number three, what is filling your mind? What is filling your mind? Ask yourself, if my thought life became public, what would people see? What is your mind full of? What videos are you watching on a day-to-day basis? Who are you following on Instagram? What are you putting into your mind? And this is question number three. And question number four, our last question. Are you merely hearing God's word this week? Or are you practicing it? Are you practicing what you've been learning this week? Are you putting these things into action? And guys, we must clarify. No action that you do, no command that you follow this week will save you. It's our response to being saved. If Jesus has saved you, you are able to act in these ways. You are able to follow these commands because you have the Holy Spirit. And God will change your heart and he will change your life. The storms of life may continue. Conflict will still exist. Questions will remain unanswered. But when we rejoice in Christ, bring our burdens to him in prayer, fill our minds with his truth and walk in obedience, the peace of God guards our hearts. And the God of peace will walk with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for any conflict between people in this room that you would solve that conflict, that the two parties would be willing to go to one another and to ask for forgiveness. God, I pray that we would in that put the interests of the other person ahead of our own, that we would do what you did for us, and that we would lay down our lives and our interests and our preferences, and we would say, I forgive you, to the other person. God, I pray that we would put our minds on things that are above, that we would fill our minds with what is true and what is honorable and what is just and what is pure and what is lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. God, make us more like you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for making a way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Cabin Devos.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.